And now joining a line, we got her a day late because of our issues with our phone lines. We really appreciate that she hung around with us one day later. It's Tammy Rentschler. She is assistant coach, former head coach of Belvedere North, now serving more or less assistant coach with the Belvedere North cheerleading squad. 3 years ago, they finished second in state, and then since then, they've been nothing but champions for the last 3 years, including last Saturday, they captured the state crown in the co-ed team division with 96.63 points. And Plainfield South was second at 93.43. So first of all, Tammy, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing great. Now, the three, I say 96.63 versus 93.43, is that considered a blowout in cheerleading? I don't know what the how big a margin that is of victory.
It's kind of a blowout in cheerleading, because if you look at some of the large division scores, they are separated by just tenths and sometimes hundredths of a point.
Right.
So, you know, it felt good to, we did have a good margin going into our final performance, but, you know, besides that fact, I mean, we probably could have dropped something and still won, but you don't want that. You want the kids to do their best on the final day, and that's what they did. So we were thrilled with that score.
Kind of explain the process, how it works. I know that there's, in essence, prelims on Friday, and then you have the finals. I think the top 10 in each of the four divisions, there's small, medium, large, and co-ed. They all advance to Saturday. So how does it work? I mean, what happens on Friday? Do those points in some way carry over, or just start fresh on Saturday? What's the process at state?
No. Well, you know, let me back up just a little bit to sectionals.
Okay.
You know, so just like other sports, we have sectionals.
Mm-hmm.
In the co-ed division, there's not as many teams as, like, your small, medium, and large teams, but about 10 to 11, 12 teams per sectional, five sectionals. So the top five advance. So when you get to Friday prelims, you've got 25 teams in each division, so 100 teams that are competing that day in each division. In all-star tier, it is different. It does carry over, but in IHSA and high school tier, that day one means nothing except that they take those top 10 scores and they advance to Saturday. So that's what happens, and that's what's so nerve-wracking. But, you know, just like any other sport, your last second shot, your last second field goal, cheerleading's the same way, because you can see quite a shift in team placement for the final day because it doesn't carry over. So, for example, I think it was 2016 when we were second, when we finished second, we were sixth going into that, but jumped four places. So you just never know.
Now, the girls, so how many girls did you have that were back from last year? How many from last 2 years, probably? I mean, how much basically veteran talent did you have on this team this year?
We have quite a few veterans back. I don't have an exact number. However, we only have six seniors. So most of our boys are staying except one boy. So we should be very strong again next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly think, though, even with talent coming in, I mean, if you take the time over the summer to just start with basics and start perfecting, I mean, you can bring kids up to speed if they're willing to put in the time.
So the group that you had this year, though, that was pretty much a veteran team. I guess what I'm getting at is, how much did the experience of being there the last 2 years help you as opposed to some of the other teams?
I think it helped a lot, but we're still kind of young. You know, we still have quite a few juniors, but definitely most of those kids, the majority of them have been in competitive cheer before, whether it's, we only had one freshman this year on our varsity team, but even she had competed in all-star cheer, so she was used to that. And a couple of the boys had never been on a cheer mat before, and they did a great job because it is really nerve-wracking. But we did have quite a bit of experience. We had a lot of those kids that were on the team last year.
Hey, Tammy, this is Paul. It's good to talk to you. Congratulations.
Hey, Paul, thanks.
You know, Belvedere North was known as a cross-country school, and now I would say you're right up there with Troy Yunk and his team. But you talk about Young, and you talk about the athletes that are coming up through the ranks. Talk about that reputation once a school becomes known for a particular sport, because I imagine there are young boys and girls out there that now aspire to be a cheerleader at Belvedere North. How does that happen, and how do you guys at your level impact some of those kids at the middle school or younger levels?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned Troy, because I tease him all the time. The boys cross country has three championship banners hanging in the gym, and I was teasing Troy the other night about We're catching up to him now.
Right.
So we'll have our third banner hanging there right next to his cross country banner.
Yeah.
But you know, I think, remember the old movie with it? What was the baseball movie? The If You Build It, They Will Come. Remember
Field,
that?
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams. Field of Dreams. It's kind of like that. I mean, if you are willing to lay the groundwork and just put in the, you have to be patient. You know, you just have to be patient. We started when the school opened in 2007, and when the Belvedere school split, most of those kids stayed at Belvedere. Belvedere was, you know, more successful at everything, and so you really have to put the time and energy in to build it from the ground up. But it's kind of like a well-oiled machine. Once you start winning things, this sounds crazy, but you know how a successful football program, people will move to that district just so their son mm-hmm. can play football there. We are seeing the same thing in cheer. We have had quite a few transfer students over the last couple of years where their parents actually relocate so their kids can do the sport that they love. And that's pretty cool. You know, that's pretty cool. And I do feel like we have a feeder program. We have the Thunder Youth Spirit Revolution. We just TYSR. That is also working with those grade school and middle school kids. That has impacted our program a lot. And I think, I don't know if you guys realize, but ever since 2007, we have always been co-ed. Based on our enrollment size, we would be a medium-sized team if we were all girl. But luckily, we have always been co-ed. We have always had boys. And I think once you get past, you know, you break through those boundaries and that stereotype about boys doing cheerleading, they're very supportive at our school. It's not a big deal when boys do cheerleading. So that helps a lot also.
I mean, that speaks volumes of what you said about people moving there. That says a lot for the acceptance of the sport and both acceptance of cheerleading as a sport, but also acceptance of people that want to go somewhere to be a champion in cheerleading. I mean, that's something that you wouldn't have heard somebody saying, what, 10 years ago? Maybe even less than that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think, Paul, remember when we fought so hard for when cheerleading became an IHSA sport, you know, we fought so hard to, I mean, you look at them and you know it's a sport. I mean, there's no doubt in your mind, but it just was such a barrier to get through that, oh, cheerleading's not a sport. Because I think what people see is maybe cheerleaders at basketball games are just standing there and kind of, you know, clapping when they make a basket. And that's not really anything what competitive cheerleading is.
Right.
And then, you know, I think the other thing that Lacey and I are both really proud of is we have so many college cheerleaders now, and I really, not every kid wants to cheer in college, but, you know, if you do, if that's your dream, then I think at North we will make it happen for you somehow. You know, whether it's a smaller school or bigger, so we've got a cheerleader at Purdue, we have one at Iowa, we have Illinois State, you know, we have several at Lindenwood, one of the Wisconsin schools. So, you know what I mean? We have a lot of kids that have gone on to cheer in college, and I think it's the coach's job to help make that happen.
Is there scholarship opportunities then?
There are in some of the smaller schools. Our Big Ten schools don't really give scholarships. They might give you a book stipend, and, you know, you get tons of gear, and, you know, whether you're Adidas or Nike, you get a lot of promotional products. And some schools will give you one credit hour for all the time because, you know, they do train just mm-hmm. like the other athletes. Some of the smaller schools actually have more leeway as far as awarding scholarship money. So Lindenwood is a great school, smaller school outside of St. Louis that has a great cheer program. So we have three kids there right now.
Quick question. I asked you this back when we talked. We talked back in the fall when we had our pigskin preview, and I might ask this question. I'm going to ask it again. When do you put together the routine that you're going to use in competitive at the state level? When do you put that routine together, and how many months are you actually working that specific one? Or does it change a little bit just for variety's sake, just to avoid getting stale, I guess?
Well, you know, it's funny you ask that because we are co-ed, we don't get our routine until the first week in November, which seems absolutely crazy because within a few 3 to 4 weeks, we are performing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
With the IHSA guidelines, you are allowed to get your choreography in the summer. That is okay. But for us, that wouldn't pay off because, you know, our cast of characters changes. You know, we may get a couple football boys or we get girls coming in from volleyball. that's always been the case. So we've always waited. Then there's a window, you know, between when football season starts, like you are not allowed to get any kind of choreography. Do you have to do it in the summer, or you have to wait till that start date in November? I kind of think like you do. I think that our kids, if we gave them choreography in the summer, they would be so sick of it by the time competition came that it would almost be detrimental. I feel like it almost might get sloppier, if that makes sense, because they would be so tired of doing the same movements over and over. So we're going to just stick to what works for us, I think.
And you guys will get going back into it. Because of that, you'll be getting going as far as in the summer, getting kids ready. But again, the routine you're not going to worry about till next November again.
Right, absolutely. I mean, we will finish out February, and, you know, got a lot of open gyms. So, you know, while the iron's hot, we hope to get some freshmen come in and, you know, people just try it out in February. And then March, we give them the entire month off. And then come April, we will have tryouts, and then we start right back in again. So summer practices are pretty crazy. We practice 3 days a week. We do it like a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so that they have from Thursday all the way through Monday, you know, to spend time at the lake or go swimming or work, whatever they want to do. But a typical summer practice is 45 minutes to an hour of straight conditioning, sports conditioning. And we bring in people from all over. You know, we might have an instructor from Peak, or we might have somebody from a weightlifting program. We brought in, you know, some people from the Army that do like a boot camp with them. And we do that for the first hour, and then they have a snack, and then those last 2 hours are all cheer skills.
Sure.
So it's pretty intense, you know.
But the intensity is, there's the reward, because you guys are creating your own little New England Patriots dynasty in Belvedere
right,
here.
Right. We must be doing something right. We're not going to change anything, for sure.
That's true. Well, thank you so much, Tammy. Really appreciate it. It's Tammy Rensselaer, coach of the Belvedere North cheerleading squad, just captured last week in their third straight state championship. I'm sure there's a lot more to come down the road. So thank you again, Tammy. Appreciate it. Always love talking to you.
I know. It's great talking to you guys. And, you know, I just do want to give a shout-out to our whole listening area, that everybody's been so supportive of all our NIC 10 schools. You know, we had quite a few. We had North Boone and Harlem and Lutheran and Byron and Guilford and Boylan. And the amount of support coming from our community has just been overwhelming. And I speak on behalf of all those coaches that we just so appreciate everybody, all the nice messages and all the support and the yelling. And it's just been a really fantastic ride for all of us.